coming.
First of all, I feel great sharing a podium with Rabbi Breidowitz. It's a rare honor and an enormous pleasure. The workplace, the spirituality in the workplace. It's nice that Purim is around the corner. I'll tell you one of my big Purim experiences every year is I'm in the car, I have to drive around a little bit, and I listened to one of the tapes of Rav Hutner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, his Purim Suda. And I'll tell you one thing that he said at one of his Sudas, which is germane to what we're talking about, and it's a great way to start off. Says that there's a halacha in Chashen Mishpat, buying, selling. Says if I go to you and I order 100 gallons of oil, we contract for oil, so you have to sell me the oil, but I have to produce the barrels. And when you contracted to sell me oil, it's my obligation to produce the barrel. So if I order wine from you, so the understanding is that you will also give the barrel together with the wine. Because wine and barrel go together. The wine ages in the barrel. So when we talk wine plus barrel. And that's the beautiful thing that he said about Purim. That the Rabbeinu Shlalom gave us a Mishteh HaYayin. He gave us the Suda of Purim, where we drink wine. But when you give wine, you also give the barrel. When the Baal Shem gave us the Yontif of Purim, he wasn't only talking to our neshamas, he was also talking to the barrel of our neshamas. He was also talking to our bodies, our physical aspect, and the whole of us, body, soul, spiritual, temporal, everything together rejoices. It's a beautiful thought for Purim. One of those Yom Tovim which it's not terribly easy to celebrate correctly. To really, really feel totally holy, totally given over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That every part of me is part of my service to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not a small thing. And in the same sense, of course, expanding the concept a little bit, it's our daily lives, which also the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And on Purim, he gives us the hint that he can have them, that we can supply that too. The question of how to deal with the workplace. Rivka was asking me to come and speak. So she told me that, I can see it, that you know, people go and they work, and they go in the morning and they come back at night. And it's hard sometimes to integrate that into a total religious experience, that should be part of my Yiddishkeit. Doesn't seem to be much connection. And it's true, we need that these huge chunks of time which we spend every day working for our living, that shouldn't be a sort of a locked up kind of unit which has no bearing on the important aspects of my life. There's just too much of it, and it's too significant in the lives that we lead to be able to say, well, my Yiddishkeit will be when I go to Daven in the morning, when I have my Seder at night, when I listen to this lecture, to this shir, but this is somehow outside the ambit of my Avodas Hashem. We don't want that, of course. The truth is that the idea, the concept, that somehow the work which we do, whether I'm an accountant, whether I'm a lawyer, whether I'm a doctor, whatever it is that I'm doing, that that is somehow needs an answer. Well, it's really not a religious exercise. It's really not something which has any direct bearing on my Yiddishkeit, but I can make a Kiddush Hashem, I can be nice, I can be honest, I can be polite, I can be friendly, and I can make a Kiddush Hashem. That is, I think, a very, very fundamental error. All that is true, of course. But the truth is much, 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 much more than that. And I think that the way we have to understand things and the truth we have to come to grips is that out in the marketplace, where we go for our work, that is itself a mini Beis HaMikdash. That is where my Avodas Hashem takes place no less than when I do things which are specifically mitzvahs. I want to demonstrate that and sort of come to grips with the concept through Sefer Koheles. People look at Koheles and they get scared. It's a sort of a very, very depressing kind of Sefer. And so they sort of veer away from it. The truth is that there is no more beautiful, happy, optimistic, life-affirming Sefer than is Koheles. That's why we read it on Sukkot, the time for a Simcha. If there's one pasuk which sort of encapsulates the message of the whole Megillah, which we'll discuss in a moment, see, there's a whole avalanche of thoughts over there, which, you know, each one of them is a parsha, each one of them has to be understood, each one of them has to be studied. There's one pasuk, I think, which sort of says it all, and Zil Gemara, V'idach Perusha Zil Gemara, that's the central theme of the Sefer, and the rest is kind of commentary. Right at the end of the Sefer, Shlomo HaMelech says, Tein chelek l'shiva gam l'shmoina. It says, give seven its due as much as you give eight its due. What does that mean? Eight, the number eight, we know is a symbolical of the not this worldly. Eight is always Shavuos, seven times 7 weeks, and then the plus Shavuos, the Yovel, seven times 7 years, and then the Yovel, Bris Mila, on the eighth day. Eight has to do with things which are purely holy. That's sanctity is expressed in the number eight, pure sanctity. Number seven is a this-worldly number. Hashem created the world in 6 days, then there was Shabbos, which gave meaning to the other 6 days. So there are 7 days which are associated with the creation of the world. So Koheles tells us, Tein chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmoina. He says, don't run away with the idea that the only worthwhile avoider of the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Shmoina. Shmoina is easy enough. Shmoina we can deal with. Something that's purely holy. Yom Kippur is easier to deal with than Purim. Shiva, ten chelek l'shiva, give seven its due. You have to deal with the this worldly in the context also of being an Eved Hashem. It's very, very strange. The reason why people get scared of Sefer Koheles is, because everybody knows the, till you sort of doze off on Sukkot, it's a long Megillah, so you don't listen so hard. But at the beginning, the first Pesukim, everybody listens to, right? Ma Yisroin le'odam, b'chol amolo yishiyamu el tachas ha-shamesh. Kehillah says, what benefit is there? What, there's nothing which comes out from a person's omal, from a person's work, which he works underneath the sun. So that seems to set the tone for the Megillah. That omal is useless. And that creates a sort of a thought mode in which we feel, well, if omal is useless, so then why engage in it? Why should I spend a lot of energy balancing some books, arguing a case, building a bridge? If it's all hevel, havel havolim, omar koheles, havel havolim, hakol havel, ma yisroin la'odam, b'chol amole, shiyam, el tachos ha-shamesh. It's all wasted. So then we have this question. How can I infuse all this activity, which is essentially non-productive, Jewishly speaking? So how can I infuse it with some meaning? How can I sort of get it to be something positive? It shouldn't be a total waste. The funny thing is that if you learn through the Megillah, and you really learn it pasha by pasha, posuk by posuk, you see that Koheles seems to back down completely. And 6, 7, 8 times throughout the Megillah, he says, there's nothing better than to eat and to drink, be happy with the omal which you do, go out, work. Shibachti ani es ha-simcha, says, what a beautiful thing simcha is, he says. Ein toiv le'odam, there's no greater good for an odam. Kim shiyoichel, that he should eat, ishte should drink, someach ba'amola, and rejoice in his labors. What's the happening over here? He starts on such a negative tone. Ma Yisroin le'odam, b'chol amole shiyam el tachos ha-shamesh. And then, again and again and again and again, he comes back to this theme of enjoying life, enjoying the physical things in life, eating, drinking, omel, functioning well within a community, functioning well within a family. He loves that, and he praises it, and he longs for it. And what's happened? And the key, of course, to that is, Gemara says, that first posuk has to be read in its entirety. The posuk says, Ma Yisroin la'odam b'chol amoloi sheyamol tachas ha-shamesh. That if the orientation of his work and of his efforts, if the orientation is tachas ha-shemesh, under the control of the sun, and in Tanakh, the sun always stands for that which is purely physical, because the sun makes the physical world viable, gives us heat, gives us warmth, gives us light. Then, of course, it's all havel havolem. But if that which I do is motivated, the Gemara says, by something which is koidem the shemesh, the Torah, which was created before the sun was created, so then there is no havel. It's very, very interesting. If you want to isolate a villain in Sefer Koheles, who is the villain of the Sefer? The villain of the Sefer very much is the Shemesh. Again and again and again and again, maybe 30, 40 times throughout the Megillah, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, this is Hevel Tachas HaShemesh, and this is Hevel Tachas HaShemesh, and this is Hevel Tachas HaShemesh, because the Shemesh is a very, very, very physical concept. It's a concept of physicality. The world, when we talk about the world as a physical entity, We're talking Shemesh. That is why, by the way, we Jews have a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. The Shemesh is associated with Esav. The Levona is associated with Yaakov. So, you read Sefer Koheles, and you begin to hate the sun. Tachas HaShemesh, all the problems come from Tachas HaShemesh. Hevel, 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 everything is hevel. You get towards the back of the Megillah, and you see a pasuk, it boggles the mind. Pasuk says, Mosoik ho'oel. Light is sweet. V'toiv le'inayim. And it's a pleasure for the eyes. Lirois es ha'shamesh, to see the sun. Suddenly the sun, which got such a bad press throughout the Sefer, Nachamol Hevel, Nachamol Hevel, again and again and again, Hevel, 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 futility. Suddenly at the back of the Megillah, was ken sein scheinen, nothing can be nicer. Umosoi ko'oi, sweet, v'toiv le'inayim, it's good for the eyes. It's not something you have to be scared of. It's not something which you have to be afraid of. V'toiv le'inayim, lirois es ha'shomesh. To see the sun. What suddenly happened? The answer is that what happens is that the difference is whether you're tachas ha'shemesh or whether you're roye es ha'shemesh. If you're tachas ha'shemesh, if you're beneath the sun, that means if you allow the world and everything that it stands for, all that is implied in the concept of Shemesh, and therefore in the concept of Tachas HaShemesh, if you allow that to control you, if you're oriented towards that, if that's all that's in your mind, so then you're in bad shape, then it's Havel Havolim. But Lirois es HaShemesh, that means I'm not underneath it. I'm standing outside it. And I'm looking at it. I control it, not it controls me. I see it. So then the whole of the physical world, everything that there is, it's beautiful. Mosoi ko'oi. You don't have to be afraid of it. It's sweet. The toiv le'inayim. It's good for the eyes. Lirois es ha'shamesh. It's an unbelievable pasuk a little earlier in Koheles. People go out to work, people make a living. Busy making a living, most people want to make a good living. So how guilty am I supposed to feel if I get a good salary? Is it good for the Jews, bad for the Jews? Well, it depends a little bit what you do with it. But is it okay to make money? A wonderful pasuk in Koheles. Toivo chachmo im nachala. That it's very beautiful and really nice if chachma, wisdom, is combined with possessions. Medrash says that this pasuk is the source for the Mishnah, which says Yofe Torim Derech Eretz. Combination of Torim and Derech Eretz. It's good. It's yofe. It's beautiful. Let's see what the pasuk says. Very, very interesting. Pasuk says like this. Listen carefully. Pasuk says, "Tova chachma im nachala." It's great when wisdom is accompanied with nachala, possessions. V'yosa, and it is an advantage. L'roye es ha'shamesh, to those who see the sun. What does that mean? It means what we said just now. If I'm tachas ha'shamesh, if I'm a small, puny, narrow, somebody who can't cope with these enormous and beautiful challenges which life throws at us, then I'm in bad shape. But if I'm a roya es ha'shemesh, then I can't handle money either. Then money becomes poison for me. But when is toivo chachmo im nachala? When is it beautiful? When Chachma is accompanied by Nachala. The Yaisa L'Raya Es HaShomer. It's a beautiful thing for those who stand outside and see the sun. Pasuk goes on. It boggles the mind what Koheles is telling us over here. It says, Ki B'Tzeil HaChachma B'Tzeil HaKosef. What does that mean? He says, because when, what's a tzeil? Tzeil is shadow, right? It's what protects you from the sun. So Ki B'Tzeil HaChachma, when you stand in the shadow which wisdom casts, that means that your love of knowledge, your love of Torah, your love of wisdom protects you from the sun, casts a tzeil, casts a shadow. Ki b'tzeil ha-chochma, b'tzeil ha-kosef. Money does the same. Money can make us all into Elohi Yidden. It can make us all into good Jews. Know what it says in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch, it says, after a person in the morning has davened and learned to learn after davening, very, very important, before you do anything else, you should be kaveya, itim latoirem, and it mustn't be negotiable, it has to be an absolute. But then the Shulchan Aruch goes on. It says, va'achakach, after that, yelach limlachta, you should go and work. Why? Shekol teure, she'enimo melocha, seifer betela v'gereres oven. It's hard to live without an income. And kol teure, she'enimo melocha, seifer betela, in the end it'll be bottled, v'gereres oven, it'll bring about sin. Shulchan Aruch goes on, she'ha'oini, ma'aviro es ha'odom al das koinei. Person is poor, he has terrible nisyonos. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to be the last kid on the block to get this or to get that or to get the other. And so we do averas if we're poor. So ki b'tzeil ha-chachma, b'tzeil ha-kosef. Money can also cast a shadow. Money can also protect me from being burnt by the sun. So let's read the psukim again. Tovo chachma im nachala. It's beautiful when wisdom is accompanied by possessions. The yoisa, and that is a big benefit. L'roya es ha-shemesh. You've got to know how to handle it. You have to be a roya shemesh. You mustn't be a tachas ha-shemesh. Ki b'tzeil ha-chachma. When you are in the shadow cast by wisdom, protected from the sun, b'tzeil ha-kosef, then kesef also can protect you from sin. Then the pasuk goes on. The yisroin das, ha-chochma t'chayes ba'aleha. Very important lesson, Koheles tells us. He says, what did I tell you just now? Ki b'tzeil ha-chochma, b'tzeil ha-kosef. That kesef can be as protective as chachma. It says, but don't run away with the idea that they're equal. They're not. The yisroin das. The advantage, of course, the more significant of the two, the more important of the two, is das. Why? Because ha-chachma t'chayes ba'aleha. It's only chachma, it's only Torah that can imbue us with real life. Those two psukim, everybody should get them framed and put them up there with Benjamin Franklin's 10 ways of being an Elohe Yid, whatever it is, Zrizas and all these things, right? But that belongs up there also, right? Ki v'tzeil ha-chochma, v'tzeil ha-kosef, v'yisrein das, ha-chochma t'chayes ba'aleim. Versteht sich, that there are other models also of living. Great Chofetz Chaim, the Bir HaLocha over there, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that what the Shulchan Aruch says, that Achakach Yelech Limlachto, Shekol Toyo She'enimo Melocha, Seifer Betele, V'Gereres Oven, it's only said for most people who can devote their lives to learning and can do it conscientiously, can do it honestly, can do it right, of course they should learn. But for those of us, or those of you who are out there working, you must never, ever, 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 ever walk away with the idea that this is some kind of a b'di'evet, and this is something which the Ribbono Shel Olam has no nachas from. It's the basic unit of life, the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it. Mosoi ko'er v'toiv le'inayim liroiz es ha'shamesh. If you do it right, if you have the right attitude, and versteht sich, right attitudes, the test of whether we have the right attitudes is kind of actions we take. Not very much point in having the right attitudes and then not acting on them. But for somebody who acts right, the need to go out and make a panosa doesn't have to be looked at as something, I've got to do it, it's a pity of it. It's a privilege. Why? I mean, why Tucker does the Ribbono Shel Olam want us to do this? What does he need us out there for? I work in a yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, grateful every day. But come into contact the whole time with people who do work. Sometimes I have to be in offices, and I see how hard it is. I see how difficult it is. The conversations around the coffee machine, the way people talk, what's being done, the underhandedness, it's not an environment which one would say is very conducive to anything. Of course, you can't generalize, but by and large, from what people tell me. And it's so full of nisyanus, so full of nisyanus. So why, Tucker, does the Ribbono Shel Olam want us out there? Wouldn't it be nicer if all of us sat in the Beis HaMedrash? And it would be just great. A very great man asked this question. Not exactly, but kind of. That was the Chovas Halvavos. He asked a big question. You may know the Chovas Halvavos, one of the big things that he tackles is the Inyan of Bitochen. You have to trust the Ribbono Shel Olam. And one of the big issues which we need to know is that Mezoinosav Shel Odom Ketzuvim Lo Mirosh Hashanah Ad Rosh Hashanah. That Sof Kol Sof, Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim, Ribbono Shel Olam comes Rosh Hashanah, we come to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, judgment, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says what we should receive during that year. So, Chovas Halvavos teaches that really our efforts when we go out to earn a living, there is not really a direct correlation between the two. I work, therefore I earn. Ribbono Shel Olam has etzos. He can give me what I need without it. And so the Chovas Halvavos has a question. He says, well, why not give it without it? Now, why make such a strange world where I have to go and I have to do things, and I know that ultimately there is no direct correlation between the two. I can get, I will get, Ribbono Shel Olam will look after me whether I do the things or whether I don't do the things. So whom am I kidding? What do I need it for? So the Chovas Halvavos says two very, very interesting answers. The first one very interesting, but not directly impinging on what we're talking. The second one very directly impinging what we're talking. First one, he says, very interestingly, he says, you know why the Ribbono Shel Olam makes us go out to work? So it's because Batolo maybe the Shim, what are we going to do the whole day? We'll get bored. And when you get bored, so you get into all kinds of trouble. Based on that, the Chavos Avos, Agav, says a very big chiddush lahalacha. Says, what if somebody knows he won't get bored? I mean, somebody who knows how to use his time well, and he'll sit, and he'll learn, and he'll be productive, and he'll be creative in his learning, he'll be a masmid in his learning, he wouldn't have to go out and work. That's his first answer. But the second answer is, for our purposes, very, very important. And I think that it's his second answer which undergirds the whole thrust of what we've been learning in Sefer Koheles. He says, because it's the He wants us to be tested. In a way, it's not hard. You sit in a yeshiva, you sit in a Beis HaMedrash, and you learn many things which are hard there too. But the many nisyonos of the store and of the office are not there. But out there, you really, really have to flex your religious muscles. And you have to be heroes constantly. And it's in that struggle that the Ribbono Shel Olam has nachas from us. That is what the Chavos Avos says. Ribbono Shel Olam could have run his world very, very differently. As we say, Mizanoisav Shel Odom Ketzuvim, he doesn't need our efforts to go and give us what we need. But he needs us. And he has us most loyally, most tangibly, most heroically out in the workplace. If we can go there, every single act that we do is a victory snatched from a likelihood of defeat. There's so many things that we could do wrong. There's so many thoughts which we could think wrong. So many words which we could speak wrong. So many relationships through which we could live wrong. It's in that constant fight and constant struggle that true Judaism expresses itself. That's a magnificent thing when you think about it. That it's the office, factory, which is the battlefield of Yiras Shemaim. Lechatchila, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Again, Chavos Avos says, what if somebody has been oimed b'nisoya and he's been tested left, right and center and shown himself to be absolutely in control? So he doesn't need that testing either. But most of us are not that way. And that's why the Sefer says, lechechol b'simcha lachmecha, and be happy with your omel. Do it right. And if you do it right, so then it's not a b'di'evet. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He wants our struggles. He wants our fights. There's a very, very rare medrash. Nowadays everybody, it's a big Talmid Chacham, you have the search programs at your fingertips, and I figured I was going to find this on my computer. I looked and I couldn't find the medrash, but then it turns out it was in a very, very rare medrash called Medrash Talpias, which the computer didn't have. But there's a medrash, Rabbi Dessler brings it in the Michtav Meliyahu. He brings it about Chanoich. It says, Chanoich, Teufel Manolim Hoya, that Chanoich was a shoemaker. And Al Kol Tfiru Tficha, every stitch which he put into the shoe, he was Miyachet Yehudim. He said praises to the Rabbi Nishlalan. So Rav Dessler brings from Rav Yisrael Salanter, doesn't mean that he was saying Tillim then. He was being paid to make shoes, he wasn't being paid to say Tillim. Says that every stitch was so firm and so strong, and the shoes came out so beautifully, and the books were so well balanced, and the brief was so well written, and the medicine was so carefully mixed, that every chelek of that activity cried out, there's a Rabbi Nishlalan, and I am his eved. There can be no more beautiful way of serving the Rabbi Nishlalan than to be in such a situation and to be strong and firm and holy. What does that really mean in terms of serving the Rabbi Nishlalan? Let's see whether we can take that a stage even further than that. Everybody knows the story of Hillel, patient Hillel, when the Gentile came to him and he said, look, I'd like to become a gay, I'd like to become Jewish. I'm nice that you teach me the Torah while I stand on one foot. So Shammai had said it's impossible and had sent him away. Hillel said, no, I'll do it. What did he say? He said, Mandasaniloch lechavuch leisavit. What you don't want to have done to yourself, don't do it to anybody else. That is the Torah. The Idach and all the other things are Perusha. They are commentary. Zilgamon, now you go and learn. Many people ask the question, how is that Kol HaTorah Kulo? That's Ben Odom L'Chaver, that's interpersonal things. Doesn't have much to do with Shatnas, doesn't have much to do with the Lulav, doesn't have much to do with Shabbos. I think that the Gemara means this, and then we'll see how this impacts on our thesis. When this fellow came to Hillel, and he said, teach me Kol HaTorah Kulo while I stand on one foot. What did he think? He was a fool. He thought that Torah could be condensed into one sentence. What did he think? I don't know what he thought. I mean, in his question already, it's implied that he knew that there's a big Torah. Teach me the whole Torah. So there is such a thing as a whole Torah. So he wants to learn it al regal achas. So what does he think? It seems to me that he was asking as follows. He was asking, look, I want to become a ger. I'd like to become Jewish. Can you tell me in one line what a Jew is? Tell me, what's the bottom line of being Jewish? I understand that there's a whole Torah, the Tayag Mitzvahs, I understand everything. But when the whole exercise has been done, at the end of the day, what kind of a person will I be? Hillel told him, you'll be a nice person. And don't think you can be a nice person without Shabbos and without Kashrus and without Shatnas and without all the Ben Odom Lamokhams. We've seen that many, many, many times, that the superficial politeness and the superficial niceness is just that, very, very superficial. True Ben Odom the Chaveroim comes from Kala Tavakkulam. That was the question over them. He said, what does it mean ultimately to be a Jew? And the answer was, ultimately to be a Jew is to be good. And for that you need Kala Tavakkulam. Where does the Rabbeinu Shlom shine into that? Doesn't Judaism have something to do with relating to Hashem? So Rashi says, yeah, it has to do with relating to Hashem. But what does it say? He says, Man desanilach l'chavroch l'savit. If you don't like it, don't do it to your friend. Rabbeinu Shlom's your friend. It's a pasuk in Mishle. It says, Re'acho v're'a avicho al tazav. Rabbeinu Shlom's also your friend. So if you are good to your fellow man, you'll be good to the Rabbeinu Shalom also. What does it mean being good to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Keeping his mitzvahs. You want that people should do what you want, so the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to do his mitzvahs. So, be good. That's what Rashi says. What do you see from that Rashi? You see from that Rashi a meiridike thing. That Hillel taught us, how do we learn to relate correctly to the Rabbeinu Shalom? By relating correctly to people. The Pasuk says, V'ahavta l'reicha kamecha. The Pasuk means, ultimately, love the Rabbeinu Shalom. But in the Pshuta Shel Mikra, it's Yoreya. The answer is, you learn how to love the Rabbeinu Shalom by loving Yoreya. The way we are human beings, and human beings function in a human society. They function in a human society, they function under human conditions, and that is the reality of their existence, and that is the path through which they come to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's the pshat in that Chayvus Halvavus, that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to function in the marketplace. Not like we said, Lechatchila, Tzibidiyevet, we'll have to deal with it. Not even what we said later on, no, Faker, that is where I can flex my muscles, and that is where I can prove myself an emissary Eved of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Go further than that. It's the only way of ultimately getting to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's through coping well with the challenges which the marketplace throws up at us. Functioning well with people, functioning well with money, functioning well with all the complexities which make up the business world, the professional world today. That is the derech of ultimately functioning correctly with the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's why Koheles ends the Sefer Sof Tovah. Hakol nishma, es alakim yira, ves mitzvosav shema, ki ze kol ha'odam. Where did he show that? The whole Sefer didn't deal with that at all. Sefer dealt with what do you do with your business, and what do you do with your king, and what do you do with your servant, and what do you do with your money, and what do you do with it? So what's this soft over hakol nishma, es alakim yira, ves mitzvosav shema, ki ze kol ha'odam? That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you have learned my Sefer well, and if you have learned how to cope with living, now you're ready to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now you understand the world. Ten chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmeinam. That's the theme of the Sefer. Deal with the Rabbeinu Shalom, function to the Rabbeinu Shalom through the shiva, through functioning well in society and in the real human world in which the Rabbeinu Shalom has placed us. Bocher asked me this week, oh, everybody has to come to grips, he says, well, with the Purim is coming up, we started with Purim, we can end with Purim. Why get shikah? Why is this mitzvah of Chayv Odom L'Shumu B'Puriyam Adela Yodam? So, told him because It's easier to get on with other people. You know, when we're under the influence of the intellect, that means when we're sober. So we have different agendas most of the time. I have these needs and you have these needs, and they clash, and they may both be legitimate, and I may be nice and you may be nice, but there's a limit to how nice I can be and a limit to how nice you can be, and from my point of view there's surely a big limit to how nice you can be, because I'm always nice, right? Same as you, right? So sometimes it's hard to get on with everybody. But at the neshama level, we're all one. Then there's room for love to flourish. So he asked me a good question. He said, well and good, but what's it going to do with Purim? What does universal love within Klal Yisrael have to do with Purim? So I told him a very good thing. Before Esther went into Ahasuerus, and she was about to risk everything by going in, she said to Mordechai, she said, Lech k'nois es kol ha-Yehudim. She says, gather together all the Jews, the tzumu alai, fast, toich l'altishtu, and so on and so forth. So what was this business of gathering the Jews in the Bote Knesios? Why did she want them all to get together? So the Maharal says a very, very wonderful thing. He says, look, this was being set into motion in order to destroy Haman. Ahasuerus. But we're in Golos. We're in Golos. So they are on top of us, they're in charge of us. How can we destroy them? As long as Jews are in Golos, there's not a thing that they can do to destroy their oppressors. That's Golos. Golos means that you're under the thumb of the people who are putting you into Golos. So the whole exercise was useless. There's no way that it could succeed. So Esther understood that there's only one way to be able to succeed, and that is to leave Golos. How do you leave Golos when you're in Golos? You leave Golos when you're in Golos by being a tzibur, by being Klal Yisrael, by being the totality of Klal Yisrael. Lech k'nois es kol ha-Yehudim. Individual people, pizur, when we're scattered, one here, one there, nobody caring very much about the other, that is the grist for the Golos mill. That's what Golos is made up of. But when you didn't get together in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Beis HaMedrash, with kinus, lech k'nois es kol ha-Yehudim, when there is a communal feeling, where everybody pulls together, everybody davens together. So there, for those few moments, and in that context, they're out of Golos. And then you can deal with Haman, and then you can deal with Ahasuerus. Lech k'nois es kol ha-Yehudim. So Purim is above all and beyond all the point at which we have to care for one another. Rambam says, have to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam, whose salient quality is Lahachiyos Ruach Shefolem or Lahachiyos Lev Nitkoim. Ribbono Shel Olam cares about people who are sad. And the whole Yontav of Purim revolves around that theme. That's what Shlachmonas is about, that's what Matonas Lev Yoinim is about, that's what everything is about ultimately. That k'nois es kol ha-Yehudim, the feelings of solidarity and the feelings of responsibility, which are a function of that solidarity. That's why I want to finish my, I was going to say few words, I don't know whether there were few or many, depending how sleepy you are, I don't know, but finish what I'm saying anyway. That this is the time of year, this is especially the time of year, when we need to think about people who could usefully help, use our help. Most basic need, we said before, that Koheles encourages the enjoyment of the small pleasures of life, eating, drinking, amelos. All that, Koheles says, go ahead. As long as it's not tachas Hashemesh, you can enjoy it. But there are bigger needs in life. There's the warmth, there's the emotional anchorage of being married, finding a life's partner, and a community, a kinos eskol ha-yehudim, a kinos, where this enormous solidarity is the briach ha-tichan, the inner force which energizes this organism and makes it tick, the mode of Purim, which is a mode of kinus, a mode of mutual love and mutual feeling and mutual responsibility, is a time when every community has to ask itself and to be bodik itself very, very carefully, are they doing enough to help people who need help? Everybody knows that the issue of shidduchim is one of those issues which are very, very difficult in our society today. The sociological reasons are way beyond my expertise. But the poshut, simple, plain, run-of-the-mill Judaism, which requires us as individuals and as communities to care and to take solid, meaningful, useful steps, not to excuse ourselves by saying, well, I don't know these people and I'm not good at it anyway and that's not my bag and that's not the kind of thing I can do. Those are thoughts which, to the extent that they have validity at all, have it in the non-Purim mode. In the Purim mode, where Chai Vodem Lifsume, where the intellect recedes a little bit into the background, the mind becomes quiescent and the heart takes over, those cheshbonos have no validity. And everybody needs to take to heart the unnegotiable obligation of doing what he can do and what he can't do, because he thinks he can do it, to help where help is needed. You've been exceptionally attentive, and I want to thank you all for listening and to wish you a Freilichen Purim.
Thank you, Rav Eisenman Shlita, for your very important and inspiring words. We would like to remind you that tapes of tonight's shiurim will be available immediately after the shiurim downstairs in the lobby from which you entered. Please try and share tonight's shiurim with your friends who weren't able to make it. And if you'd like, review the shiurim by purchasing the tape. People always find that listening to the shiur a second and third time helps them gain new insights into the words of the Megide shiur. Time permitting, we're going to have questions and answers after the second shiur, and during the second shiur, index cards will be passed around. If anybody has a question, they can feel free to pass it up to the front, and if any one of the particular rabbanim is you'd like to address it to any particular rav, please do so. Marv will follow immediately after the shiurim and the questions and answers. We'd like to remind everybody that Sunday night shiur will be on the topic Purim, Lessons for Life, given by Rav Azriel Tauber Shlita, and that will be at the Agudas Yisrael Beis Binyamin, which is on Nostrand Avenue and Avenue L, at 8 o'clock. It is now my great cover to introduce Rav Yitzchak Breidowitz Shlita. Rav Breidowitz is the Rav of the Woodside Synagogue in Silver Springs, Maryland. It is actually a bit nostalgic for me to be here, because I remember when I was growing up, I used to listen to both to Rav Eisenman and to Rav Breidowitz on the Taste of Torah program. and it's very inspiring for me to be here. I would also like to mention that Rav Breidowitz is a professor of law at the University of Maryland Law School, and he would like to share with us, in addition to his acting as capacity as a Rav, his insights from acting in the secular world as well. Rav Breidowitz.
Thank you. I guess I'm beginning to feel old if people were listening to me when they were growing up. I didn't. First of all, it's a tremendous covet and honor, and really an undeserving honor, to be even on the same program with Rav Eisman Shlita, certainly one of the outstanding Balei Hashkafa, really probably in the world today. Also, I do want to say how important the work that the Kiyum organization does. It's interesting that these past weeks we've been reading about the Melechas HaMishkan, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, the building of the tabernacle. And there's a very interesting comment of the Ramban, just a three-word comment, in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmos, where he says, what exactly is the building of the Mishkan? What are we trying to construct? So the Ramban makes the point that the construction of the Mishkan, coming after Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, is Shavul L'mala Saveisam, that through the building of that Mishkan, they returned to the level that they had achieved in the days of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. One of the Meforshim on the Ramban tries to elaborate the parallel a little bit by pointing out that Chazal tell us that there were three miracles that were connected with Sarah Imenu's home. There was the Ner Daluk, Me'erev Shabbos Li'erev Shabbos. The Ner that she lit, the light that she generated, lasted the entire week. There was a bracha in her dough. You ate a little bit of her bread and it satisfied you for a long time. And there was an Anan Kosher, there was an Anan Yakovod, a cloud of glory over her tent. And the Meforshim say that in the Mishkan we find these three miracles that correspond to the miracles of Sarah Imenu, that we find the Anan HaKavod over the Mishkan, and of course the Ner Tamid, the Ner Maravi of the Menorah, which didn't go out until it had to be lit every day, and the Lechem HaPanim, the bread that was put on the Shulchan every Erev Shabbos, every Shabbos rather, which would not be eaten until the next Shabbos. And if that is the connection, what the Ramban is teaching us in his very few words of Shavul L'mala Savosam is that the Mishkan, as the Pasuk says, V'yasu li Mikdash, build me a temple, V'shachanti b'socham, that I may dwell within Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan is a symbol of the holiness that we construct within ourselves, the holiness which is miyusad on the Kedusha of the Ohel of Sarah Imenu, of the relationship of a man and woman, of a shidduch, that is the Mishkan Hashem. As Chazal say, Ish ve'isha, the common two letters are Eish, or fire. Every Sherev Brachas, I'm sure you've heard this, the Gemara in Yevamos, that the Yud and the Hey are the Shem of Hashem, because it is in the relationship of Ish ve'ishto that ultimately the Shechina is Shaira, and even the Beis HaMikdash itself is nothing more than a Shavu L'malas Avosam, an attempt to show us what we can achieve in the holiness of the Jewish home. This might be a partial explanation of a statement, I don't think it's a Chazal, but the Bach quotes it from an earlier unknown source, that anyone who maters an aguna, if a woman is unable to marry because her husband we don't know his whereabouts, or he doesn't give her a get, if one can find a way to mater an aguna, it's ki'ilu bana achas mechorvos Yerushalayim. It is as if he has reconstructed some of the desolation of Yerushalayim, because by allowing that chibur of ish v'ishto, we once again have shavu l'mala savosam. In effect, there's a binyan beis hamikdash. So to the extent that we are able to help people establish a bias neman b'Yisrael, to establish the chibur of ish v'ishtai, which is shechina shruya b'neim, we become participants in the binyan beis hamikdash. And therefore, again, I want to endorse the very, very important work. In a city like New York, certainly there are very large populations and people don't always know each other. I can't speak firsthand. But to the extent we can extend ourselves a little bit to help people who really need our help, we will get the schar of having a chelek and a hishtatfus in binyan beis hamikdash. Coming to the main subject of the night, the question of sanctifying the workplace, I find myself having to repeat a lot of what Rav Eisman said. That makes me feel good. You may not be as interested, but at least it shows that some of my ideas are on the right track. In wondering why I was asked to come, a little mice comes to mind. There's a story about a young boy who was once wandering in the forest, and he was lost. And he was wandering night after night. He didn't know his way. Finally, he meets an old man who's also wandering in the forest, and he says, "Baruch Hashem, finally I'll get my way out of here." And the old man says, "Well, I can't really help you directly because I'm lost too. I've been lost longer than you." So they're talking, and the old man finally says, "But you know, there's one thing I might be able to help you about. I know all the ways that won't get you out of the forest, because I've been through all of these paths. They haven't helped me. But l'chol ha'pachas, I can tell you some of the pitfalls that need to be avoided. I have had the fortune, or the misfortune, as it were, to be actively involved in a secular workforce for many, many years. I do have a very good sense of the nisyonos, the difficulties both in terms of your impact on others, chilul Hashem, and perhaps even more importantly, the impact on one's own spiritual growth. And I'll mention, along with my other remarks, I'll mention some of the dangers that I've seen firsthand, and perhaps the various steps that we might be able to take to help us navigate this very difficult nisyon. I believe it's recorded that Yisrael Salanter, at one point in his life, did not want to make a living through the teaching of Torah, so he became a stockbroker or a merchant, but eventually he stopped it because he says the nisyonos were too great. He says it was much easier to be a rav and a posek than to get involved in the nisyonos in the marketplace. There is a very interesting machshava from the Shem Shmuel, the son of the Avnei Nezer, where he comments that we find that when Bnei Yisrael are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, so Balak hires Bilam to go ahead and curse Bnei Yisrael, and the pasuk says, "Vayogar Mayav Mayav," was afraid of the people. So the Shem Shmuel asks a simple question in Pshat, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Al Tatzer Es Mayav," you're not allowed to wage war with Moav. Moav are Bnei Lot. Because they're descendants from Lot, they're entitled to that land. So what is Balak afraid of? Is Balak, or the nation of Moab, are they afraid of Bnei Yisrael conquering them?